Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Happy New Year, and welcome to another episode of Explain the Prophetic. If you haven't signed up for Explain the Prophetic podcast, this is that, and you guys can sign up for it right now by going to any podcast server there is. But if you're watching us on YouTube, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to be talking about Christian leaders and culture right now, and I'm going to talk about this being a year of breakthrough and even reprieve in 2025. This is going to be a very important year, and as we step into 2025, I had this picture, this strong picture that the Lord was saying this is going to be a year of reprieve for his people, a year where you're going to see victories maybe emerging from the battles you have faithfully already been enduring, for especially the long-term battles, some of the long-term stuff, maybe over finances, health, family, those kinds of things. Not every challenge is going to be fully resolved, but you're going to see significant turning points that really reveal God's hand is at work for 2025. And if you know what it's like when you're in a battle and there's a reprieve, it's huge. It's monstrous. And I remember being at one conference, and it was a very conservative church that was getting open to hearing God's voice. Very big church in the Illinois area. And we were praying for healing, and they wanted us to really go after, like, can God heal today when we pray for it, not just when he divinely wants it to happen. And so we were praying for healing. And at one point I said, I feel like God is going to do this. Let's pray. And as we're praying, a young man who'd been in a wheelchair, who was, when I say young man, he was like actually a boy who was probably 12 years old, had cerebral palsy, and he hadn't talked in over a year, and he hadn't walked or out of his wheelchair at all for over a year. All of a sudden, his parents are helping him. They're kind of rolling the wheelchair up to the stage, and then they're getting him out of the wheelchair, and they're bringing him up to me. But I didn't know he hadn't had any ability to talk or walk. So they're helping him walk, and they're supporting him, and they're bringing him over to me. And he starts to say, I can walk and talk in a very, you know, broken way. And the crowd was like crying, but they're also like, why isn't that a complete miracle? Like, he's still sounds different. He still sounds like he has cerebral palsy. And so half of the crowd, because they were new to healing, was discounting the fact that God was moving on this young man. And I said, tell me about it, to him and his mom. And his mom said, he hasn't been able to do this. We haven't been able to have a conversation in over a year. I'm so proud and so happy. I'm so glad that God would do this. And the fact that he's mobile, like, he hasn't moved his legs like this. And I was just in the moment, not knowing that it was a struggle for a lot of the people in the room, because it wasn't a complete miracle, that they were having a hard time. Like, this is just sensationalism or emotionalism. And I was like, you know, it was a teaching moment where I looked at him and I was like, you know what? He hasn't been able to talk, and his family now gets to talk with him for, you know, until he's healed or until something breaks through. He now has his voice back. And that must be huge for everyday daily life. And I'm not sure why he's not totally healed. And who knows? This may be progressing. By the end of the week, he could be healed. We don't know why God does the way he does, but he didn't will himself to get out of a chair and talk. He couldn't do it for a year is a long time. He did this. And we need to recognize and celebrate the spiritual breakthrough moments or points. There are some people who wrote their leadership and eldership that this was heresy, that this just couldn't happen. But I started thinking about points in the Bible where there was progressive miracles or progressive times, even deliverance of Israel, where it happened progressively, not just all at once. And they had to recognize the moments, the spiritual moments, I call them the prophetic moments, but the spiritual moments where God was breaking through, that was leading them to believe for the greater and leading them to believe for the timing of the more. And it wasn't just God spreading breadcrumbs in front of them to lead them on a path. And it wasn't God dangling a carrot in front of them. It was that God was breaking through in seasons that would awaken them with more spiritual hunger for his fullness. And so I think about this young man sometimes when I'm thinking about people who they can't honor what God's doing in the moment because they're looking for the bigger thing. They're looking for the fullness. And if they don't have it in the fullness picture, what we think is totally righteous and right in our own minds, we don't recognize God in the whisper. We don't recognize God in the moments. And so this year might be those times where you just celebrate the incremental, and you celebrate the moment of breakthrough where you get something back, or the moment where you can do more again, or the moment that you have energy from God that you didn't have before. And for those of you who know you're called to be a leader in society and culture and politics and business and ministry or whatever else, which is the majority of Christians, because we're called to be influencers. We're called to be a light on the hill. We're called to be a city on a hill, you know, and we're called to be a light on the tallest lampstand we can shine from. And so for those of you who feel like that, maybe you felt the weight of the season like never before. Maybe there's been a weight to it where you've recognized there's been a battle and the opposition has been intense and the challenges have been so personal for so many of us. I mean, so many really hard challenges. You know, it's one thing when somebody persecutes you from the outside about something you're doing or right or wrong or about something in your life. You know, as a ministry person, I get persecuted quite a bit. People think I'm a heretic. People think I research words on Facebook. People think I do all kinds of stuff. Like, they just accuse me of whatever they accuse me of. And that doesn't matter to me. It's all not true. And there's whole videos about how it is true. And it's all not true. But when my daughter has been struggling with reactive arthritis to strep throat, and that's so personal, and it's taken us months as a family to pray with her and to just give her courage and to be her strong support. And she's been incredible, and God's moved in her life, and she's finally walking again with just a crutch instead of a wheelchair to a walker to a crutch. And the doctors didn't have a lot of answers. They just said, we think she'll get better. We're pretty sure she's going to get better, but we're not sure. And to watch your child go through something that where they're completely restricted, where their knees are bent and they can't move them, to now walking after the first year, she's running around and walking. And just like, I'm so celebrating each one, from the wheelchair to the walker, from the walker to the crutch, from the crutch to now walking so much without the crutch. And as a father, I'm just like, God, you care about my family. You care about my daughter. But I had another friend who had their child with a medical issue, and because they had so many other issues in life, so many other things, they had their eyes on all the problems. They couldn't celebrate those moments that there was breakthrough, or that they got into a better hospital, or that they had a better program, or they had a better physical therapist. And they had so many good moments, but they couldn't celebrate it because they were so weighed down in their soul, and they needed to do some soul work. They had to do some self-care and some reprogramming inside so that they can recognize the God moments and partner their faith to Him, because this world is hard. It's full of troubles. And you can either look at the troubles all day long, or you can look at what God's doing about the troubles all day long. That's your only two choices. And I think it's really important that we look at it, what God's doing. And I think that He uses the pressure to refine us. I think He uses it not to destroy us. We're hard pressed, but not crushed, according to the Bible. And we're not alone. We're never alone. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. He never abandons us. And when we're in this fire, He's in it with us, shaping us into be a vessel of honor for His purpose. And there's lots of fires we go through in our life, and we hate the fires. Everyone hates the wilderness seasons, but many of us have just walked through some of the biggest wildernesses of our lives so that we could become something that is worthy, that God, we said yes to, that God said, I'll form you into, but it took a process. And I don't always like the process either. You know, it's like those processes are hard. But before we get into more, I want to tell you that we have a new class coming on our Spiritual Growth Academy, and our Spiritual Growth Mentoring Community, as it used to be called, Academy, Spiritual Growth Mentoring Community, is a place where you can go to 4-week classes a month. Every month's a new class. We also have weekly activation groups, and where you can actually be mentored in that subject by doing and praying and practicing what we're learning in the classes. Classes are all live, so you can go to live classes. And then I have a monthly prophetic accelerator to teach you about how to hear God's voice, even over some of the harder issues that there is to deal with when it comes to hearing God's voice. And we do that every month for a few hours a month. And I'm going to encourage you to join for this particular class. It's so important. It's called Blessings and Curses for the New Year with Mark Verkler. Now, Mark Verkler is an incredible teacher. He has accredited classes through Bible schools all around the world on hearing God's voice. He's one of the only theologians who has accredited classes on this subject, because he is such a good teacher, and it's so valuable that churches have embraced his theological curriculum around the world. And he's going to teach you what curses are in the Bible, what blessings are in the Bible, and then how to activate blessing and break off curses now in this generation, in this time. And so if you feel like you've been under something, or if you feel like you want to learn how to partner with blessing more, either way, Mark is like a spiritual father, not just a theologian, who's going to lead you on a journey. And he's so beautiful as a human being, just his soul, but also he's going to be able to answer questions. We'll have live Q&As and also prayer time with people who attend the class. So I'm going to encourage you to come to our Zoom class. It's for 4 weeks. It starts now. So make sure that you look at the exact date that it's going to start, so you don't miss the first class. And we want you to come join us at the Spiritual Mentoring Community, not just for this one class, but we'd love for you to enroll so you'll be in all of our classes every month, including my Prophetic Accelerator. So I hope you'll come. Let's get back in the prophetic word. So I believe that this is going to be a year for those of you who are keeping your eyes fixed on what Jesus is doing. It's going to be a year of hope and stability for the faithful. And there's that scripture. It's such an ominous scripture, because it says, Jesus says, to those who have, everything will be given, but those who have not, everything will be taken away. And I remember praying into that as a young man, going, that is such a weird scripture, because I have such a heart for the poor and for children at risk and for people who don't have a lot. So it's like, oh, that's such a mean scripture in some ways. Until I understood that what he's saying is, it's a kingdom mindset. It's an issue of how you focus your thoughts, your spiritual insides, where if you focus on what God is doing, even in the smallest ways, in the hardest circumstances, then you always feel like you're accumulating. But if you focus on what's not happening, or what the enemy's doing, or what man's doing wrong, then you'll only keep looking at that over and over and over. Because even psychologically, when you focus on the negative, it multiplies faster than when you focus on the positive. The positive has to be practiced. That's why we have to read the word and meditate on it over and over and over, because it creates the new neural pathways. It creates a place of faith in our mental side of our life, our psychological side of our life, that takes work, just like working out. But negativity is our first response from the fall. So negativity is very easy, and it doesn't take any effort to have a negative thought. It just comes naturally. Fear comes naturally. Anxiety comes naturally until you've trained yourself not to. And if you've had kids, you understand that, because your kids will have irrational fears. They'll have ways that they face the world that you have to train them to think right. You have to train them to the right character and the way that they approach life, so that they don't go, I want to quit the sport because I'm the worst one. And you go, that's actually not the truth. And you train them how to think rightly. Well, we have to understand that if we are looking at what God's doing, then everything feels like He's going to add to it, even when a negative thing happens. And I have this story I've told before in one of these prophetic words last year, but I'm going to tell it again, because when I was a pastor of a church in LA, we had a woman came to me, and she was one of those people who always sees everything as negative. She's a very negative person, and she's hard to talk to because she wanted an audience as much as she can get with any of her leaders. And she, you know, she ran for local office, and she had, you know, some credibility to who she was. But she was always very negative, single woman who just felt like she needed to get married, but she couldn't find the right husband, and she'd been divorced, and she wanted, you know, she had a story behind that was super negative, and there was never a positive thing that I remember coming out of her mouth. And so she came to the church service, and she wanted to be in the worship time, but she came late, and she came up to tell me, I miss worship, my favorite part of the service, because thank you very much. I was speaking. So she was basically insulting me, but she said, my favorite part of the service, because I missed it, because my car got a flat tire and I couldn't afford to fix it. And this guy comes along and he's smelling, he's gross on the highway, and he like fixed my tire. And I just was like, I didn't want to be around him. And he just didn't speak English, and it was just so hard to be around. And then I got in my car, and when I was here, I was almost out of gas. I didn't have time to stop at the gas station. I thought I'd get a little worship. And then you were done with worship when I got here. I'm just so frustrated. And she was just, you know, done. Everything was terrible. I don't know if I'm going to have money to fix my tire even. And I'm riding on my spare, and she just was upset. So as she's talking to me, she talked for a while. As she's talking to me, I was going to pray with her just out of compassion. A family comes over, just a sweet family. And they said, we were driving all the way from Malibu over here to, and we were in the middle of Hollywood. And on the way here, we got a flat tire on the freeway. And we were like, what are we going to do? The dad didn't know how to change a flat tire. He's like, we didn't know what, even where the spare was, how to get the spare. In LA family, you know, in entertainment family, not practical family. And he goes, you know, and then we just prayed and we said, God, what do you want to do? And this man stopped, and he was Hispanic man who stopped on the side that's part of the government, city workers, like the other woman had had. And he came over, and he just had the most beautiful smile. And we talked to him, and he didn't speak very good English, but our daughter practiced her Spanish on him. And he basically got to share with him about what we're doing, going to church, and how we'd love for him and his family to come. And they're going to come either at the end of the service or next week. And we were so blessed to be with him. We were able to give him, we didn't have a lot of money, but we were able to give him money. And just because they don't normally require money, but we were able to give him some money that was going to really help him and his family. And we got here. We're just so grateful that our tire got popped, because we got to meet him. And we don't know what we're going to do about our tire, but we know God will take care of us, that he used this terrible thing that he never intended, you know, for this moment of this young man and his family's life. And they're sharing this in front of the first woman, who's like devastated and really does have money and doesn't really have problems in this context, but it had piled up everything else that was going wrong in her life in that moment when she had a flat tire and she wasn't in a position in her faith to look for God. And so therefore it just piled up to the negativity of what was happening, what the enemy was stealing, what her own all people have done wrong to her, and how God wasn't even nice to her. And then this other family was like, we don't know how we're going to pay for food today, like our groceries today, and we gave all our money to this guy, but we just are so grateful we had the opportunity. A whole family breaks down. That's in a really hot day. It was like not an easy day. And she just was like, basically feeling rebuked from God. Like, I couldn't have set this up. I wasn't against her. I wasn't. And it was a learning lesson for her where she's like, I don't think right. Like, I don't, my mind's not right. Cause I could have had a moment with that man too. I could have looked at him as being sent from God. I could have looked at the situation and looked for God to do something or use it. Romans 8:28, use all things for my good. But instead I'm stuck in the negativity. And I feel like, for those who have, everything's given. That little family understood that. For those who have not, everything's taken away. For her, the woman, everything was taken away in that moment. She just, the carpet was ripped out from under her again. And I share that extreme of a story because you may not be as extreme as her or as extreme as them, but you need to become more like them and you need to become less like her in the sense of, what does it look like to, when hard things happen, to look for God and go, God, you can use this. And it may not be unto someone's salvation, and it may not be a glorious story, but it's still God's story. It's still his story in your life. And that's how you get hope and stability. And some of you aren't going to understand that hope and stability for those of you who are really being faithful to this principle, because you're not looking for God. And I love Psalm 91, where it declares, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, for those of you who've chosen to remain really steadfast and seeking shelter under his wings, this is going to be a year of divine protection, because even when the hard things come, you're going to feel peace. You're going to feel his protection. You're going to feel like you're tucked up under your Father's arm, and God's going to fortify your faith, and he's going to anchor you to his unshakable promises, even as the world experiences, I think, further shockwaves and major movements of churches and politics and entertainment and all these areas. We're going to have some more shockwaves. It's not over, but your position in it may be over. Your position of how you responded to it, where it hits you wrong, where it hits you and derailed some of your faith or your hope, is going to be gone, because you're going to find yourself faithfully rooted because of the work God's been doing in you. And for those of you who felt like you're barely holding on, the Lord's saying, "I'm stabilizing you and your faith is being tested, but you're going to come out stronger. Lean into me. I am your firm foundation. I will not let you fall." Isaiah 41:10 is a promise for you. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And there's something about when we're in these seasons of hardship where we look at God and we go, okay, this isn't about me. I can't muster all my courage and faith up to just feel okay about this. Like, I need you, God. I need you by your right hand to do something. I need you to protect me. So to depend on him and put it back on him and cast your burden on him. And there's a turning of a tide that happens that way. And I think for a lot of us, and even for whole people groups, there's going to be a turning of the tide in 2025. Hey, that's like a prophetic slang, a turning of the tide, prophetic 2025. I like that. And we're going to see a turning of the tide in key areas, and battles that seem to have been endless are going to shift. Strategies that felt futile, things that felt like they weren't working, are suddenly going to bear fruit. You thought it was going to bear fruit 2 years ago, 5 years ago, but it's suddenly going to bear fruit. And God's even releasing heavenly wisdom and divine connections to really position you for breakthrough. It says in Isaiah 43, verse 19, "See, I'm doing a new thing. I've quoted this more in the last year than ever before. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And some of you need to like let your spiritual perception come alive, that God's doing a new thing, that you've never perceived it before, that this is something that's new. And some of you, even if that's all you have, is just perceiving, "Wait, I feel hope today. I feel like God's doing something big today." That's enough. That's enough to partner your faith to and just say, "Thank you, God, for that." Just stop in that moment and say, "God, for some reason yesterday I was in battle mode and hopeless. Today I feel hope. I feel tucked into your shadow, your wing. I feel like you're doing a new thing. I can't see it, but I perceive it somewhere in my spirit. I discern it." And for those of you in leadership roles, especially, God's going to highlight these things. I want to just highlight them to you. Number one, you're part of his redemptive story. And even in the chaos, he's working and walking you through being a transformative agent in your sphere of influence. And so some of you are paying such a high price because it's not just for you and your family. You are going to like multiply what you've gone through and the fruit of Jesus in your life, and so all the troubles and the hardship that you've gone through are going to become a testimony for others' breakthrough. If it's not a testimony when it can't bring breakthrough, you know, and so, but if you've had a deliverance, or if you've had a breakthrough financially, if you've had a healing in your marriage, your family, that's a testimony that God's going to use for other people, and you're going to influence in a major way. And number two, your perseverance is building legacy, and the seeds you've sown in tears are going to reap a harvest of righteousness. I mean, you are literally building a legacy. When you're going through something right now, it's not just for you. It's for your children, your children's children, for your relational circle, for your church, for your business, whatever it is, that God is using your story to build something in legacy. And number three, this is a big one. You're not alone. And the body of Christ is rising up to support each other like never before. Maybe some of you are going through the hardships of one of the shakings, one of the movements or churches that have had some failure last couple of years. I know it's been really hard to watch all these things that have happened, and to watch really good people make bad decisions, or find out they made bad decisions, or find out they're still making bad decisions, and being a part of whole mega movements or media streams that are going through shakings right now. But I'm going to encourage you that God is going to raise up people to support you, and you're going to be one of those people God's raising up to support others. And there's going to be really strong allies built this year, and they're not going to be built around necessarily just church activity or just around what you do for God. They're going to be built around kingdom alignment. And some of you are feeling that right now. You're feeling like maybe God's pruned you from relationships, or maybe God's set your faith up, or maybe things have gotten quieter. I know we talk about wilderness a lot on this prophetic podcast, But I'm telling you, in the future, God is going to bring alliances and allies around you. And there's going to be such a support. You will be a support too, but you're going to be supported in a real way. And I'm going to give a caution to those of you who've been maybe in a complacent season where your faith isn't reactive, where the Bible's not open and you're, you know, you have the Bible closed, or it's not even on a shelf where you look at it anymore. You know, open it up. You know, open it up, because those of you who are not stabilizing in your faith with the Bible, with your relationship with God, your faith is going to experience so many tremors this year. And God is still shaking what he can to awaken hearts to his calling. And he's going to allow circumstances to expose what needs to be refined. But his purpose is always redemptive. So he's not just trying to, he's not mean, he's not critical. He's not, as a matter of fact, he's not causing a lot of the turmoil on the earth. He's not causing the pain on the earth, but he's going to use it. He's going to capitalize. And I love Hebrews 12:27. It says, this phrase yet once more indicates the removal of the things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. And that's what exactly what he's doing. So some of you who may be a little complacent, you know, it's like you have the gym membership, but you don't go to the gym. That's what a lot of Christians are like. I have the Bible, but I don't read it. I have the, you know, I talk about prayer, but I don't actually pray right now. I talk about God moving, but I'm not actually looking for a moving in my life. Those are how you know you're complacent. And this is a year not to shrink back, but you don't want to rely on your own understanding, because God's doing so much that's new. You have to lean into God's voice. In 2025, I would encourage you just even say, God, I will lean into your voice. Hashtag my turn. For those of you who know my hashtag, it's my turn to lean into God's voice. I'm going to prioritize intimacy with you, God, and I'm going to receive the clarity and the strategy that's needed to navigate these challenges, God, from you, not from myself, not from my circle, but from you alone. Doesn't mean you won't use my circle. It doesn't mean you won't use me, even my internal thoughts, but I'm looking for you to bring it. And I'm going to encourage you to pray, like it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, without ceasing. You know, it says, pray without, how do you pray without ceasing? You just keep God in your thoughts. You're like, when you're doing your work, when you're doing your stuff with your kids, when you're even, you know, we've been on Christmas break and we still have many days left. And on Christmas break, I've had to think like every day, like, how am I having significant time with my daughter so we don't just have a day that passes away? And with my wife, it's like, we're so co-parenting sometimes that we become glorified roommates if we don't actually stop for intimacy and stop for a hug and a kiss, to stop for a look at each other's eyes, to stop to go out to feed the chickens together, but then have moments together, you know, whatever it is. And some of you need to like actually plan in or be intentional about how you pray without ceasing. And it's being intentional in your relationship with God and then declaring his promises over your life. And I know we have a couple books, and this is a shameless pitch right now because this supports the show. We have Prophecies, Prayers, and Declarations for Breakthrough and for Provision. And if you buy these, you also get an incredible digital course on your prophetic journey. And I want to encourage you guys to get these books, because they're only $20 right now on our website for both books and a digital resource. And this will help support the show, but it's going to help you make some declarations and prayers over your life right now. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the biggest thing we need to do this year is rest in the presence of God. And that doesn't mean be passive, but it means I'm in my soul where I think I could work myself into a new place of promotion, or I could work myself out of trouble or turmoil. I can't. I'm going to rest in the fact that you're working on my life, my story, my resources, my reputation, all the things that I'm going to make efforts towards, but I'm not going to strive, and I'm not going to think I can do something outside of you, because I want a God result. And so resting, true rest is found, of course, under the wing of the Father. And so not in striving. Victory is coming. I just want to say that again. Victory is coming. The Lord saying, don't despise small beginnings, Zechariah 4:10, because what you're building with him will stand the test of time. You're going to enter into a season of seeing his goodness in the land of the living. I love Psalm 27:13. Trust that he's moving even in the unseen realm, because 2025 is not just a year of reprieve, but a year of planting seeds into the future for future harvest. And for those of you who remain steadfast in your faith, you're going to emerge so much stronger from 2024 into 2025, so much wiser, so much more prepared to really lead in the days ahead. And victory is assured because we know God's faithful. We know God's faithful. He has our victory in his hands, but you got to keep, like I said, stay in the shadow of his wings to see that salvation. And victory is so important. So I'm going to encourage you, believe. Believe that God's raising you up for a purpose. Believe that God, whether it's in, you know, an industry or a community, or whether it's in your family, whether it's in ministry, that your leadership, that your role that you're going to play is going to impact other people and the way they think about God and life. And you're going to help people in such a profound way. And that's why maybe it's been so hard. Maybe you've been through the wilderness because you had to be tried in a fire where he purges and prunes and takes everything away that's not important, so you can become the version of yourself that he dreamed of you being when he went to the cross. And I know for some of you today, this resonates as truth. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, my friend's in that same season you're talking about. I'm not, but my friend's in that season. Well, send this video to him. Send a link to him. Let them see this as well. I'm going to, maybe a whole church group needs to hear this, or maybe your home group, or maybe it's your Bible school. You need to hear this together, because it's a time to pray for each other, empower each other to say you're going to make it, and you're going to make it through 2025 stronger and full of God's promise, full of breakthrough. I believe that for so many of you are going to have such an incredible 2025, regardless of the circumstances on the earth. You're still going to have an incredible 2025 because your eyes are going to be on Jesus, and everything that's given will be multiplied. And you won't feel like you're in a taking away season constantly. And if you feel like you've been in that season, that's not a God season. That's a perspective thing that has to shift by your theology and your heart and your choices. So I'm going to encourage you to do that work as well. Well, thank you so much for watching today. Thank you so much for being here. We so love that you're part of the Prophetic Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or hit notifications if you're already subscribed. Also, you can find this now as a podcast each and every Sunday of the week with a supplement to your local church service. You can actually listen to a prophetic declaration or word, or sometimes we do interviews and other things on this podcast. And so look forward to building this podcast with you in 2025. Make sure to share this podcast if you have a podcast on Facebook or Twitter, so other people know all about what we're doing here, Exploring the Prophetic. And also, you can make any donations. I'm going to tell you a victory we had. Any donations to help this happen will be so important to our ministry. Go to bowlsministries.com. Actually, donate.bowlsministries.com for those of you who are listening, but it's also on the screen there for those of you who are watching. We had a victory. We had a year-end giving victory, and so many of you were a part of it because you gave a donation that we had a matching donor for up to $100,000, and we came over the $100,000, so we were able to get the matching donation of a full capacity, $100,000. So we're walking into our year with double, $200,000+ to be able to build all the media, the content, the training, the equipping we do in the prophetic, and all the shows that we do. And it's so encouraging because we've never had this much giving and this much generosity, and it so helps us. So thank you for those of you who are able to give. You can, of course, still give every week because it helps us so much to build what we're building right here on the Sean Bowles Show, build what we're doing through all of our podcasts and our online training. And we love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.seanbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my prophetic monthly mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or seanbowles.com and click on mentoring community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.